Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of blepharitis, found under the ophthalmology section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 54-year-old man presents to his primary care physician with eyelid itching. His symptoms are associated with a burning sensation along with eyelid swelling. Physical exam is notable for redness and irritation of the eyelid margin and with crusting on the lid margin. He is recommended to apply warm compresses, lid massage, and lid washing. Let's continue with an introduction to blepharitis. As a general overview, remember that this refers to inflammation of the eyelid margin. And in terms of the pathophysiology, posterior blepharitis involves inflammation of the inner eyelid at the level of the meibomian glands. There is hyperkeratinization of the meibomian gland duct, which leads to altered lipid composition of gland secretion. This then favors bacterial growth, which leads to an inflammatory response in the posterior eyelid. The pathophysiology for anterior blepharitis involves inflammation at the bases of the eyelashes. This may be due to Staphylococcus aureus or coagulase negative staphylococci. However, the mechanism is unclear. Moving on to the presentation. Symptoms will include transient blurred vision that improves with blinking, as well as red, swollen, and pruritic eyes, a gritty or burning sensation, and crusting of the eyelashes. On exam, one may note pink or irritated eyelids, eyelid swelling, crusting or flakes of the lashes, and conjunctival injection, which is very common. In terms of the differential, make sure to think about conjunctivitis, with differentiating factors being that there will be erythema of the eye rather than the eyelids. Also think about hordeolum, with differentiating factors being that there will be an infectious nodule or bump on the eyelid. However, note that hordeolum can also be associated with blepharitis. In terms of treatment for blepharitis, lifestyle options include eyelid hygiene, which is indicated as the mainstay of treatment. Medical options include topical antibiotics. This is indicated for cases that are refractory to conservative therapy. Another option is oral antibiotics. This is indicated for cases that are refractory to topical antibiotics. And lastly, with regards to prognosis, remember that it is good to excellent. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to blepharitis, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 33-year-old woman presents to the emergency department with itching and tearing of her eye. She states that it started 2 days ago and has not improved. She also noticed scaling and crusting of the affected eye at times. The patient has a past medical history of asthma and eczema. She otherwise is healthy. Her temperature is 99 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37.2 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 118 over 72. Pulse is 88 beats per minute, and respirations are 12 breaths per minute. Physical exam demonstrates erythema and swelling of the eyelid without tenderness to palpation. Her visual acuity is 20/20 in both eyes. Which of the following is the most likely diagnosis? And the answer choices are choice 1, blepharitis. Choice 2, chalazion. Choice 3, hordeolum. Choice 4, periorbital cellulitis. Or choice 5, seasonal allergies. The best answer to this question is choice 1, blepharitis. This patient is presenting with itching, tearing, crusting, and scaling of her eye, with exam revealing redness of the eye without tenderness to palpation. This constellation of symptoms is suggestive of blepharitis. Blepharitis is an acute inflammation of the eyelids that can occur secondary to an infection from bacterial or viral causes, meibomian gland dysfunction, or unspecified inflammation. The diagnosis is based on the clinical features, which include erythema, swelling, and pruritus of the eyelids. Patients may complain of ocular irritation, blurry vision, and increased tearing. This condition is associated with rosacea. The treatment of blepharitis includes eye hygiene, which includes rinsing the eyes and avoiding eye makeup, as well as warm compresses and topical antibiotics. Relapsing symptoms are common. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 2. Chalazion is secondary to chronic inflammation from blockage of a meibomian gland. It presents with eyelid swelling, erythema, and a rubbery, non-tender lesion. Management involves hot compresses, which often lead to spontaneous resolution. Choice 3. Hordeolum or sty presents with painful, tender eyelid swelling and occurs secondary to infection typically from Staphylococcus aureus. The diagnosis is made clinically, and management involves hot compresses, which should lead to spontaneous drainage and resolution of symptoms. Choice 4. Periorbital cellulitis presents with erythema and minor tenderness to palpation surrounding the eye. Note that there is no pain with extraocular motions and no vision changes, which may suggest orbital cellulitis. Management involves the administration of oral antibiotics. Choice 5. Seasonal allergies presents with bilateral eye erythema, pruritus, and tearing of the eye. Management is primarily avoiding exposures that exacerbate symptoms, rinsing the eyes when exposed, antihistamines, and topical antihistamines for the eye. Note that these symptoms may seem similar to blepharitis, but are seasonal and affect both eyes. Finally, a bullet summary. Blepharitis presents with inflammation of the eyelids with pruritus, erythema, swelling, ocular irritation, blurry vision, and tearing, and occurs secondary to inflammation, meibomian gland dysfunction, or infection. That's all for this review about blepharitis. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.